In November 2011, we here at Radio Berkman looked at the issues behind SOPA, or the Stop Online Piracy Act, being considered by Congress to address copyright theft online. At the time, the law looked likely to pass, except for a growing chorus of voices claiming that SOPA would end the freedom of the internet as we know it. On January 18, 2012, that opposition exploded into a day of online action, with thousands of sites going dark to protest the law. Within a day, Congress retreated, and little has been heard from SOPA since. Field producer Melissa Galvez shared this report, one in a new series of follow-ups to topics reported on Radio Berkman. Let us know if you enjoy it. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter under Radio Berkman.
The January 18th protest opens up a whole new set of questions, not about SOPA itself, but about the power of online activism.
This wasn't just a moment where a large aggrieved interest group kind of said, stop.
That's Micha Sifri, the co-founder of the website Personal Democracy Forum and a lecturer at the Kennedy School this spring.
Okay, this was also a moment where a very large community reached a level of self-consciousness about its own capacity to shift the way things work.
He said that at first, the debate over SOPA was pretty conventional. Supporters and opponents were big companies with lots of cash and lobbyists. The movie and recording industry were for SOPA, and tech companies were against, and tech was losing. But then came the first disruption.
On November 16th, the first thing that happened that presaged January 18th took place, which is that Tumblr, which is people go to create their own blogs, they did something unprecedented. They were feeling threatened by this pending legislation, and they decided that they would interrupt their users' experience.
In other words, Tumblr actually blacked out their users' homepages.
And there was a message attached to that basically saying, this is what could happen if Congress passes these laws. Would you please find out more and take action if you agree with us?
Sifri said that this intervention generated 80,000 phone calls to congressional offices. Other sites joined in. The social bookmarking site Reddit, the web browser Firefox, and the crowdfunding website Kickstarter all blacked out parts of their sites or offered information on the bill. In mid-December, Wikipedia co-founder Jimmy Wales posted a message to his site asking whether the ubiquitous encyclopedia should weigh in on this topic.
And he just did a little straw poll on this page and asked people, should we have a more serious conversation about going dark? About 500 people answered in the next few days. And 90% of them said yes. So at that point, the Wikipedia process takes hold. They actually have a pretty complicated decision-making process, and they hammered out some proposals, and they asked people, do you support going dark globally? Do you support just going in the United States? How dark should we go? What should we say on our site? And so on.
According to Sifri, about 1,800 of Wikipedia's volunteer editors participated in that conversation. What's interesting is that the online activism around SOPA seemed to come both from internet leaders and from the participant communities, from people like Jimmy Wales, who could raise an issue, to the thousands of netizens who could promote it. Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit, described how the idea moved around his site.
Individual users of Reddit create their own communities within the site, and some of these community owners started saying, we want to black out the site on January 18th. And eventually enough of them started getting together that it formed a critical mass, and enough of this attention bubbled up to the front page. It's a democratic news website, so people can vote on links up or down if they like them or if they don't. And it was at that point that the team in Reddit, the administrative team, said, okay, the community has spoken. They want this site taken down for 12 hours in protest of these bills, and they made it so.
On January 18th, thousands of websites joined in the protest, from the Huffington Post to the Drudge Report. Some sites went black or covered their logos. Many sites, including Google, urge visitors to sign petitions or call Congress. Google says that they generated about 7 million signatures on an anti-SOPA petition. Wikipedia reported that over 162 million people saw their blacked-out homepage. Firefox estimated that 30 million people saw their redirect page and that it generated over 350,000 emails to Congress. The result? On January 17th, there were 80 legislators who supported either SOPA, the House bill, or PIPA, its Senate counterpart. There were 31 opposed. By January 19th, Congress had flipped, with 101 members in opposition and only 65 in favor.
And it reminds me of something that Nico said to me back when he was the webmaster for the Dean campaign, just after the campaign had ended. And Nico said, roughly, we could feel the muscle form and flex for the first time. I think we've now seen that muscle again form. And where it's going to go, that's a very interesting question.
This time was visible, and it's unquestionably a watershed moment for politics.
Susan Crawford is a professor at the Cardozo Law School in New York and currently a visiting lecturer at the Kennedy School. She has also been the special assistant to President Obama for science, technology, and innovation policy.
This is the way democracy is supposed to work. There's supposed to be an opportunity for not just the people with the suits and the loafers going through the halls of Congress, but the people who are actually represented there to make their voices heard.
Crawford, Sifri, and Ohanian all agree that the SOPA protest represented a new way of doing politics. But what exactly changed in the political system? Nick O'Malley is an internet strategist as well as an adjunct lecturer at the Kennedy School. He found that the SOPA protest challenged the system of money and influence in Washington.
It is a watershed in the sense that the culture of Washington, D.C., that has all these systems and relationships and a network of negotiating these kinds of issues was stunned. That anyone was paying attention, that anyone would take any action. You know, it's worth noting that in the last 3 months of 2011, Google spent almost $1.5 million a month on lobbying in just the last 3 months per month, right? They spent close to $10 million lobbying in 2011, double what they spent in 2010, and it wasn't having any impact for them.
Elaine Kmark has been working in Democratic politics since at least 1980 and served in the Clinton White House before coming to teach at the Kennedy School. Her answer to the watershed question was pretty emphatic.
As dramatic as it was, I'd have to say no. And the reason is that periodically the people in Washington screw up. They just get it wrong. They don't understand the issue well enough, and it's not surprising that they don't understand internet issues well enough. I would say that I suspect strongly there are still members of Congress who have their secretaries print out their emails for them. Okay, so it's not surprising that they don't really get this issue.
Kmark recalled other moments in recent history when swarms of citizens mobilized against a bill through calls to Congress and marching in the street. But Melly noted that the changes might not just be in Washington, but rather in how protests start at the grassroots level.
I think maybe it wasn't anything new for Congress. They make a mistake. They misread the zeitgeist. But I do think it was, in some sense, something new for what happens online. The companies and the websites that got engaged, there's very little precedent for that level of engagement. There's very little precedent for a company the size of Google to have that kind of. And so both the scale of activity of these websites and the scale of people's participation strikes me as something different.
Some people question whether a private company like Google should wade into political fights, especially given how much power Google has. Sifri pointed out that private media companies have always had a political bullhorn via editorials. But what everyone stressed is that this movement wasn't fundamentally carried by big corporations, but by small communities of users talking to each other and spreading information across sites. Ohanian and Melly didn't quite agree on whether this process would always lead to a good outcome.
Our hope is, with Reddit, we've built something that is a meritocracy, and in the same way that I talk about the internet as one, we strive to make sure that for something to actually bubble up to the front page, no matter what your best efforts are to try to cheat it there, it has to be genuinely liked by a majority of the population of the site.
Well, liked is not meritocracy. Like is
no,
popularity.
Right. It's popularity.
And so
contest.
What I'm driving at is the role of populism in driving decision making. And I'm kind of wondering in the context of Reddit that the community is built around listening, right? And it's possible that in the act of listening, you're going to, not necessarily you, but the management will one day be faced with a decision that's going to be hard for them.
Melly might not have to worry about future protesters if such groups have a hard time organizing in the future. Susan Crawford pointed out that mass mobilization like the SOPA protest will be extremely hard to replicate. You have to have urgency, relevance, and widespread agreement on a goal. But the most important thing about this event is that it has created a self-conscious internet constituency, a group of people who know they can wield power in numbers over the internet. Sifri sees this as an extension of the so-called sharing economy that's practiced everywhere online.
That the internet is enabling something that was always there in American culture, which is we've always helped each other with barn raisings and rent parties and, you know, but now we can scale that kind of altruistic impulse at larger scale.
The internet muscle has flexed its fingers and caused SOPA to retract. Only time will tell what that muscle will do. This week's episode was produced by me, Melissa Galvez, from the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Special thanks to the Shorenstein Center for the Press and Public Policy at the Harvard Kennedy School for hosting the panel on this topic.